Hey, couple of things that I thought of while we were singing in worship tonight. Did you all know that there is one word across the entire globe that is like pronounced pretty much the same in every language? Did you say yam? No, it's not no. Okay, I saw one brave soul that was like, I think I know it. It's hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I think that like when we sing a song that has that in it, like I can't help but just think about there's going to come a time where like every person who's ever accepted Christ like into their heart is going to be in heaven, and that's the one word that we're all going to know from our time on earth, that we can all just join in one song and literally just sing like we sang in that, just in one voice, just lift that word up. So hang on one second, and we will get right to it. So Colt and I don't know how many camps we've done together or supported each other in. This has been the first one in quite some time. And before we even got here, actually, we kind of cooked this up last year. Like, we've got something pretty special coming up later on this week that's going to be a little bit different from what we've done in the past, and we are pretty pumped and excited about that. And one of the things that we prayed about was that God would just really show us that it was going to be the right time to do it. And I think that was pretty evident pretty quick, and we are pumped about that. And I'm not going to spoil it for you. I won't tell you what it is, but it's going to be pretty cool. And we are excited to be a part of it. So especially excited to just be a part of camp this week. It's been over a year since I've been able to come here. And hearing you guys worship and being a part of that has just been absolutely phenomenal. And it's been really cool. And I appreciate you all letting me be here with you all this week. And I know you all had absolutely nothing to do with choosing who is here, but I'm glad that I get to be the one that is here with you. So if you would, in your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew. First time this week I haven't been in the Old Testament, so that's pretty fun. This one that we're going to do has actually, it actually kind of spans across three out of the four Gospels, and I'm just going to tell this one for like the fourth time today. During the Are You Smarter Than a Kid's Sunday School question thing that popped up. And it popped up and it was like, which disciple cut off somebody's ear? If you've never heard that story, it's absolutely like one of the like best stories. And yeah, it was Peter. In the book of Matthew, like it says like, and a disciple cut off the ear of one of the servants. And in Mark, it says, and one of them or one of the followers did this. And then in another one, like in Mark, it says, and this happened to one of the slaves of one of these guys. And then in John, who was the brother of Peter, it goes, Peter did it. It was Peter. It was all Peter. Peter was the one who did it. So, you know, if any of you all have a younger brother or sister, you know what that's like. And it's like, who broke this? It was them. It was always them, you know. So I just always thought that that was pretty funny. But this story we're going to talk about tonight, you won't have to turn between them. I'll kind of bring some things in and out of it. But Matthew chapter number 14, you guys can go on and turn over that direction as well. And not going to be very long tonight. I will talk fast if you all listen fast. Deal?
Yeah.
Deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Deal pickle, right? Okay. Are we going to shake on it? We'll shake on it. Okay. I tell my 8-year-old, I was like, we'll shake on it. And he does like a little shimmy. So I'm not going to do that for you because, yep, not going to do it. Did you just say please? No, I'm not going to do the shimmy. Okay, so I know, and I'm very politely saying no, I'm not going to do it. So, no, I may try to get my 8-year-old out here later on this week with me. A couple of years ago, he came to a staff retreat, kind of like a reunion retreat that we did, and I got him to actually stand up and sing a song with me. And he did all the motions, and all the staffers were doing all the motions, and it was actually a really cute little video that somebody took, and I have no idea where it's at now, but it was a really cool little memory. And I've tried to get him to do it multiple times since then, and he just looks at me and goes, no. So it's like, okay, not a problem. So Matthew chapter number 14. We are going to be in verse number 22, and we're going to read one word, and then I'm going to give you some context. The first word in verse number 22 says immediately, and that is connecting a previous story. And if you look back in this chapter, it is Jesus feeding the 5,000, which is absolutely one of the coolest miracles of all. And I'm going to try to hit that one a little bit later this week. And there's some really cool stuff in there, so I'm going to not talk about that any further. But I just want you guys to know that we will hit that one. So immediately after he has fed the 5,000 and they've all left and gone, it says immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into the mountains by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was a long way off from the land. It says, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. It says, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. So it tells us that he tells them, hey, go get in a boat, and you guys go on and head across, and I'll meet you over there. And I think it's funny, like, he didn't give them any other explanation other than that. He just goes, hey, I need you all to get in the boat, and I need you to go to the other side. And they did it. And it tells us that it was kind of slow going for them because the wind was kind of pushing against them. In one of the other Gospels, it tells us that they made it about 3 or 4 miles out into this sea or this giant lake when this started happening, about the fourth watch of the night. So literally about the middle of the night, the middle of the lake. They're literally at a point where they can either go back, but it's the same distance just to keep going. But they've kind of met this wind, and it's kind of blowing, and this isn't like the whole storm coming up and Jesus is asleep on the boat. Jesus isn't there with them. And he's told them, hey, you guys go on over to the other side. He hasn't told them how he's going to get there, because the sea that they're on is the Sea of Galilee, and it's about 8-ish miles wide, but then it's about 13 miles long. So the shortest distance is which way? Directly across, right? And Jesus goes, I'll meet you on the other side. And nobody thinks to go, there's not another boat. How's he going to get over there? Like, is he going to walk 6.5 miles that way and then 6.5 miles back this way when we're just going to shoot 8 miles across? Like, nobody asked that question. And it says that in the middle of the night, about 3 or 4 miles into it, that everything is kind of going crazy and like the wind's holding them back and they can't move any farther. And then I like this little passage, because we just read this right here where it says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And I was reading up on this earlier today, and I caught this part in John, I think it was. I'm going to flip over there real quick. Sorry, I should have had it. In John chapter number 6, if you want to write that down. It's not. It's Mark. Man, really should have wrote that part down. Sorry. So Jesus walks on the water. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And then it throws in this little tidbit. It says, he meant to pass by. Like, he literally just meant to walk right by them. And I don't understand that. And I want to question that one like crazy. Like, he sees that they're struggling, but he wants to just walk right on by them. And I think a lot of times, like when God asks us to do something, or we feel like God is impressed on us to go and do something or to be somewhere or to talk to someone, like we've kind of grown up in a generation where we're like, if you get into trouble, God's going to come bail you out of it. I mean, here his disciples are. They're in the middle of this sea. The wind's blowing against them. They're struggling. It's the middle of the night. Like, it's dark and everything's going, you know, like crazy around them. It's not working out. And Jesus just planned on walking right by them. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to meet you in the middle. He said, I'll meet you on the other side. So he was following through on what he told him to do. I mean, he could have just stepped over in the boat and been like, hey, guys, wind cease. Now let's go. You know, he probably could have spoken a, you know, 75 horsepower motor into existence and they could have just zipped right on across, you know. But he didn't. It says that he intended on walking by him. Now back in Matthew, in his part, his telling of the story, it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Verse number 26, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost, and they cried out in fear. Okay, now, in 2023 hindsight, you know, we're pretty intelligent, and we're like, psh, Why would they not know it was Jesus? There was somebody walking on the water. Okay, they're in a boat. They understand how this works. Water's wet, you sink. You know, unless you can swim. Okay, they understand how this works. You don't walk on water. And they look out and they see a figure walking on the water. And the Bible tells us that they think it's a ghost. And I'm like, yeah, of course they do. But remember, he's intending on walking by them. So I mean, like, they're literally struggling and Jesus is just walking out here. You know, and I kind of like to think that it's almost like he creates his own little stepping stones, like the water kind of calms when he needs to step, and he's just walking, like, without any issue. And, like, one of them looks over the edge of the boat, and they're like, it's a good, you know, it's like Scooby-Doo. It's like a ghost, you know, and it's like, you know, John's probably wondering where the Scooby snacks are. I don't know, you know, like they're just, like, it says that they just start freaking out. But then I love this, because even though he intended on just walking by them, verse number 27, it says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Like, he immediately tries to speak peace into them. He goes, hey, guys, it's okay. It's just me. And I imagine he kind of says, hey, guys, just me. It's just Jesus. And we'll head this way. I'll see you all over there. And he just kind of keeps walking. And then one of my favorite people in all of the Bible, Peter. Good old Peter. I know Peter's Hebrew and he's dark-headed and dark-complected, but I sometimes like to think that he's, you know, like a 260-pound red-headed kid, that his mouth works way faster than his brain. And he talks about squirrels. You know, like, I need to tell him that joke later. Totally just thought about that. I'll remind you what the joke is. Sorry. Wow. Okay, squirrel. So, like, it's, I love this because right here in verse number 29, it says, and Peter answered him. Don't remember Jesus asking a question, right? Like, Jesus goes, hey, it's just me. Don't be afraid. We're good. It's just me. And Peter goes, says, Peter answered him. He says, hey, Lord, if it really is you, if that's legitimately you standing out there, command me to come to you on the water. A lot of times I think that Peter is like me. The brain hamster is working a whole lot slower than the mouth hamster. Like, that wheel is just cranking on those lips and that tongue, and the brain's a little slow. So Jesus is walking. They're freaking out. He goes, hey, it's just me. Don't be afraid. Just heading on over like I told you I was. And Peter goes, hey, if it really is you, tell me to come out there with you. Now, I imagine that Peter was like immediately like,
I should not have said that. Do you think he heard me?
And I imagine John's going, it was Peter. Peter said it. That was Peter. You know, and like some of the other disciples were like, I think he heard you because he turned around when you went, hey. You know, if somebody yells, hey, I tend to ignore them unless they say my name. And even then I might still ignore them because I can't hear half the time. I had a friend of mine staying at the same condo complex that I was at the beach one time, and he was like, hey! I kept walking. He goes, hey! I kept walking. He went, Jared! I was like, what? He goes, look up! Hey! He goes, you want some fish? Sure. So, you know, I'm glad I answered him. But anyway, here in the middle of it, Peter goes, hey, if it really is you, tell me to come out there. I love this. Jesus just said, come. Not real right, thank you. He goes, yeah, come on. You asked, come on. And I love it. It doesn't say there was any hesitation. On my part, oh, there'd have been a whole lot of hesitation. I'd have been like death grip in the side of that boat going, that's some deep water. There might be a Loch Ness monster in there. Like, what? You want me to do what? Jesus would have been like, you said you wanted to come out here. Come on. Peter didn't hesitate. The Bible says, so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Like, if it had been me, like I said, I'd have been death grip in the side of that boat. I'd have been making every excuse in the world. I'd have probably stuck my toe over in there. There wouldn't have been a ripple effect and some kid in jeans jumping at me. But, like, I'd have stuck my toe in there. And I've been like, that's a little chilly. That's a little cold, Jesus. I don't think I want to come out there now. But no, Peter goes, hey, if it's really you, tell me to come out there. Jesus goes, come. And it says Peter immediately got out of the boat and took off. I don't know. It says he walked. So we'll just say he just went. I mean, he's walking on water. Would you run? I don't think you would. I think you'd be taking like little baby steps. You'd be like, okay, we're going to test this. And I'd still be holding on. Like, that's how strong my faith would have been in that moment. I'd have been like, I'm going to pull the boat with me. You know, like I need to do this. And for those of you who are listening to this on the podcast, I'm literally dragging the podium with me. Okay. Like I'd have been death gripping the side of that boat going, yep, this is cool, Jesus. I'm standing on it, but I don't think I want to come out there anymore. But Peter lets go of the boat and walks. And I don't know about you. We talked about this morning. A lot of times I don't want to be the first one to do anything because those usually end with, and then he died. Like, I don't like being the first one to do anything, but Peter was. And he walks out there. And here's where we get hung up a lot of times with this lesson. It says that as he gets out there, he suddenly realizes that the waves are crashing against him and the wind is, like, blowing all around him. And it says that he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to sink. It doesn't tell us how close Peter was or how far away Peter was from Jesus or how far away Jesus was from the boat. He was far enough away that they didn't recognize him in the dark. You know, I mean, it wasn't like Sasquatch was walking out there or anything. You know, I mean, like they literally were like, you know, it's a ghost, and they freak out. But it says that he begins to sink and he cries out, and it says that immediately Jesus was there and lifted him up. And then it says they were back at the boat. Like just that quick, they were back at the boat, and he's like putting Peter back over in the boat. And then probably one of the saddest statements ever. It says in verse number 31, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And so often we look at it and we go, man, he was looking right at Peter. And he said, Peter, where was your faith? Why did you lose faith? Where was your faith? Why was your faith so little? In all honesty, I don't think he was looking at Peter. I think as he bent down to pick up Peter, he was making eye contact with the 11 guys that stayed in the boat. And he's asking them, where was your faith? Peter stepped out of the boat. The command was for any of you to come. He didn't say, okay, Peter, come. He just opened it up and went, come. Come on. And that's what he's doing with us tonight. We're all in the boat. We're all in the safety of like our little world. And Jesus is out there on the water and he goes, hey, you said you wanted to come to me? You wanted to follow me? Come on. Come on. Get out of the boat. Get out of your comfort zone. Just come on. And there's going to be a few of you that without hesitation, you're going to go, yep, it's what I'm going to do. And you're going to climb out of that boat and you're going to take off running. But then there's going to be some of you that you're all going to be standing back there going, I bet he sinks. I bet he trips up and falls. I bet the idiot drowns. And you know what? I'm going to sit here and watch it. And then when he does, I'm going to be like, yep, I knew it's what was going to happen. When the call is come, come on. Just step out and come on. Yeah, Peter got out of the boat. Peter sank. And we like to go, look at Peter. He just didn't have faith to do it. There were 11 guys in the boat that didn't even have the faith to get out of the boat. I mean, Jesus is standing out there and he goes, I'm out here, you come on. And 11 of them just stood there waiting on Peter to fail. And not one of them came. They kind of tried to make up for it a little bit, I think, because the end of that chapter, or the end of that little passage says, that when Jesus got into the boat, that they all began to worship him. Which, I mean, they had every reason to. Like, they just saw something amazing. But too often, I think we're more like the 11 that stayed in the boat. And we're just waiting for somebody else to go out and venture out so that way we can see if they succeed or not. When the call is for all of us to come. I don't want to be standing in the boat. Like, my little comfort zone is back there in that corner. My comfort zone has always been behind some form of technology in situations like this, in services like this, in camps like this. And God goes, no. No, I got something more for you. I got something more for you. I just need you to step out on faith. I need you to overcome whatever fear you have because I'm calling you to do this. I think one of the scariest decisions that I ever made was, almost 10 years ago. My wife and I were sitting there and we were having dinner and we were celebrating her birthday. And we got back and we were going to go like watch a movie and just kind of hang out a little bit. And I was like, hey, I need to run by my condo and I need to get something. She goes, yeah. She said, I think I left something there. Let's go back and get that before we head back to, she was still living with her parents at the time. We were going to go back and do some stuff. She goes, yeah. She goes, let's go back there. And so we get there and I'm like, hey, I'm going to run over to the mailbox. You go in and grab what you need to, and then I'll come in, grab what I need, and then we can head out. She goes, okay. And I walk in and like I walk in and there's music playing. Like I can smell candles. I can smell flowers. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I walk in and she's just standing there in the middle of like the living room in my condo. And she goes, so it's kind of been a crazy year or two. And she goes, but I just wanted you to know that you're who I want to be with. And I want you to help me raise my son, Charlie, our oldest, who is biologically not mine, but I don't care. And she said, I want you to be his dad, and I want you to be my husband. And she dropped to one knee, and she held out a box and opened it up, and there was a wedding band in there. And you all can think that that's probably the wimpiest thing that you've ever heard. And you know what I have to tell you? I don't care what you think. So it was a scary decision because she was asking me to not just take on a husband role, but an immediate father position. And I had never been either one of those ever. And I just suddenly had like this amazing peace, and God goes, hey, Jared, this is me standing out in the water and I'm asking you to take on something that's bigger than you've ever thought you could do. And I know that that's not as exciting as like a mission field story or something like that, because I have had some of those moments too. But in that moment, that's what I saw. I saw the one that I serve, the one that I love, the one that I have dedicated my life to, Jesus Christ, standing there going, I'm calling you to do something that you don't think you're capable of doing. I'm calling you to be someone that you don't feel adequate enough to be. All I need you to do is step out on faith and follow. And that's just one example of when he's done that in my life. Because so many times, I've been like, God, I don't know if I can do that. And he goes, hey, I'm already out here. Just come. Just get out of the boat and come. And I just keep asking myself, why do I keep ending up back in the boat? And he goes, because you've got to step out on faith every time. We talked about it this morning with Gideon. Peter had to answer the exact same three questions. Are you afraid? Are you prepared? Do you think he was prepared? He didn't have webbed feet. Nothing. Because are you afraid? Are you prepared? And then ultimately, are you going to be obedient? Are you going to be obedient? And he said all of that in one word. Come. And Peter got out of the boat and went. And I don't care that he began to sink. I'd have probably sank the second my feet touched the water. The simple fact is Jesus said, come, and he did. And I don't want to be one of the 11 sitting in the boat wondering what it could have been like. What was it like? Do you know who gets to answer that question? Two people, Jesus and Peter. You know who doesn't get to answer that question? John, Judas, Thomas, Bartholomew. My mind's blanking on the other ones. But you know what? When they got back over there, somebody went, so what happened out there? Somebody goes, one of these guys walked on water. And somebody's going to go, who was it? And John's going to go, Peter. But not in an accusatory tone. It's going to be one of those, it was him. He was the only one. And I don't want that to be what you leave camp saying happened. Where you go, Jesus was standing there and Jesus said, come, and I didn't go. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Once again, tonight, some of you all might be standing on the edge of that boat, and you see Jesus, and you are scared out of your mind. Because you want to cry out to him. You want to go, hey, if this really is you, if this really is what you want me to do, then just tell me to come. And some of us are afraid to say that because we know he's going to go, come on. And there's some of you, you're just waiting for that word. You're standing there and you're going, whatever it is, Jesus, you tell me to do it. And he goes, come. I'm telling you right now, he's saying, come. Whatever that is, in your heart, just in every fiber of who you are, climb out of that boat and go to him. Peter didn't ask any questions. He didn't go, hey, when I get to you, are we both going to walk over to the other side? You know what's a really fun aspect of this story? I told you they were halfway between one side and the other. And when all this is going on, they're just out there. And the Bible says that as soon as Jesus stepped into the boat, they were immediately to the other side. He told them, we're going to the other side. I'll meet you over there. And it says that the minute that he stepped into the boat, they were at the other side. What that tells me is Jesus follows through on his promises. So whatever it is that's holding you in that place, Jesus is saying, come. Just come. Father, we love you. We thank you so very much for another day, another opportunity to dive into your word. Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody standing there on the edge of the boat, Father, and they cry out, if it really is you, if it really is you, then tell me to come. Father, when you respond with, come on, Father, I pray that they have the courage, they have the strength, they have just, Father, as weird as it sounds, just the audacity to just like lay aside everything that's going to hold them back. And Father, just jump out of that boat and just go sprinting to you. Because, Father, we sang about it tonight, like there is absolutely nothing, nothing better than you. Father, there is nothing better than serving you and being wrapped up in your arms and right smack in the middle of what it is that you want us to do. And Father, there may be somebody here tonight that first step that they need to take is just accepting what you did on the cross. Father, where once again you stretched out your arms in front of everyone and you said, I'm doing this for you. We're going to the other side. All you have to do is come to me. And Father, there may be somebody here tonight that they've never taken that first step in accepting what you did on the cross. Father, I pray that that's it. Just call them. Call them. Come. 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 Father, we thank you for a great week so far. I pray that you continue to work in hearts and lives this week. Father, I pray that as Colt said earlier today, that every aspect of our activities the rest of this week, Father, may it be in a sense of worship. May it be in a time of worship. May it be in a time where you are exalted and in a way that you are exalted as you need to be in everything.